Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sylvain Cyr as my special expert guest. Sylvain is an elite personal trainer, genetic exercise analyst, course conductor, and exam preparation tutor. His list of personal training credentials is extensive. Sylvain is certified with the British Columbia Recreation and Parks Association, the American College of Sports Medicine, the American Council on Exercise, the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and with the BCRPA as a trainer of fitness leaders. Sylvain believes in strong professional and work ethics, high standards of service, and is committed to educate and help people achieve their health and fitness goals. Sylvain is a sincere, hardworking, focused, and dedicated professional who specializes in delivering exceptional service and results to his clients. Good morning, Sylvain, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be alive. It's December. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun going on, lots of parties. How about at your end?
Oh, same. The clients are busy this season. They're getting ready for a trip somewhere. And some of the students have exam preparation, deadlines. So, we're busy. And my own training is not stopping, right? So you got to fit that in sometime, right? Somehow.
I know that's a challenge sometimes for health professionals to get their own training in. Now, last time we spoke, which was last month, we talked about personal training, and you gave us some great insight about the field and what's involved in preparing for it, for those that are interested in it as an occupation. And also, you told us where it's headed as an occupation. It sounds very positive. On this episode, I want to talk about nutrition, because that's something you brought up. And of course, that's probably as important to health and performance as the fitness itself. So let's get into that. And my first question that came to mind when I was putting these questions together is regarding the health of the trainers themselves and their relationship to food. How can nutrition help a trainer cope with the stress of doing their job?
Really good question. As life goes on, we realize how important nutrition is, basically on energy levels. You know, often nutrition is the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about it, and then you don't want to address it, but it's an essential part, of course, of your health plans, right? Our role is based on promoting active and engaged lifestyle. So your clients are coming in and they want you to show a little certain level of energy, right? You need to respect yourself. You need to respect your clients and other trainers. And you also need to respect nutrition. I think one of the things we have to show is that what you need to have as a trainer is passion for fitness and health. Part of understanding nutrition has a lot to do with education. Understanding the true science of the how the body works, how it metabolizes energy, the value and quality of the food, I think is very important to understand. How the body stores and uses the fuel that we feed, you know, so we can actually create the energy to play, to repair, to grow, to perform, to train, thrive. There's certainly environmental factors that are motivating us. Our client's expectation and perception of our energy levels and ourselves, right? I want to say they demand that you have some knowledge and walk the talk. And employers also demand for you to respect them in providing yourself as a product that is an image of active lifestyle. Now, you have to be conscious and engage into your self-care. Nobody is going to really take you aside and say, so are you eating enough? See what's going on with you? You seem to be dragging your feet in the gym. So you need to be conscious that you need to have adequate rest, exercise, and also fuel your body as the day goes by. If you want to have a sustained longevity in the industry of personal training, I think it's important to have a really good idea. Talk to yourself about the way you look at your own body. Your personal issues with food and your body composition, I think, is very important. If you want to be perceived as the image of health, I think, you know, if ever you have issues with nutrition, I think you simply need to either get your therapist, get your nutritionist, get the resources you need, but deal with it and stop complaining about it, right? Continuous education is also very important, I feel. Knowing the trends and the fads, the latest diets, I think is important. The different products that are available in the market to allow you to do quick energy boosts in between clients, I think it's important to be aware of those. Trainers should have their own trainers. You need a pair of eyes, a fresh pair of eyes that are going to be objective in motivating you towards your own fullest potential, like towards excellence. Establish specific goals with you. It's also a really good way to transfer some energy. You know, energy management is so important. We give, we give, we give. But sometimes we need to receive at the other end, right? And you need to give and invest in something that is meaningful. I think manage your energy is important as the day goes by, as the week goes by, as the month goes by. And then investing it in something that is going to help you long term. And, well, for sure, short term. Because you're in the gym all day doesn't mean that you train all day. So I think it's important that we take the habit of scheduling your own workouts, your rest, and your meal in between, and nutrition in between. And sometimes people or your clients will perceive that you have it easy. But I think you understand as well as I do, Corey, that we work hard at what we do as far as helping others, but also you work hard at maintaining your own health. And if I may quote you, you need to eat as hard as you train. I think if you spend so much time designing programs that are so ingenious, I think it's important as well to support those programs, the training programs, with a smart nutrition that's going to contribute to help you get to where you want to be. You want to, for sure, not to end up like, I call them gym zombies, where they're basically roaming around the gym followed by their clients, and they don't really know why they're there. They just have no energy left because they don't pay attention to themselves. I think it's important for the trainer to also monitor biomarkers on a regular basis. Pay attention to your weight, your lean mass, your fat mass. I think it's important for your resting metabolism as well. Your cardiovascular fitness is important to follow. Your strength and your endurance levels. And of course, your flexibility. But all of this means that you're going to have a certain amount of smart and adequate and personalized fuel strategies. So nutrition strategies to support all that. If I want to say one thing, I think it's important for the trainers to right away at the onset of their start in the industry to start to be prepared. Prepared for your clients, but also prepared for the day that's coming as far as you're concerned. Have you scheduled your own workouts? Have you brought in some snacks? Did you do prep, you know, meal preps for the week or for the day? So you actually have fuel on hand if anything changes in your day schedule. And one last note, I think that's important for the trainers to understand is that your clients are not your therapists. Get your own therapist on your own time. I observe often the clients are warming up on a piece of cardio machine before their session, and I see the trainers come towards them and right away start to engage in a monologue about their own little issues, and you see the client trapped with a look of despair on the machine because they can't go anywhere as they warm up. I think if ever the trainers have issues with nutrition or their body image, they should not use their clients as therapists, like I just said, but simply get their own therapist or nutritionist and deal with the issues, right? Does that help you understand how I see nutrition and trainers?
Corey? Very much so. Yeah, very well said. There's a lot of good information in there. Now, talking to people about food can be a very touchy subject. It's almost like talking to them about religion. When you're a trainer on the floor with a client and you know that you need to break the ice or talk to them about, say, carb cravings, like people, I'm sure they've heard this too. The client will talk about how they overate the night before or they gave in to a craving or how they're struggling with something. What's your advice to trainers? How do you break the ice? How do you set up a dialogue with a client that doesn't embarrass them or intimidate them?
When it comes to that, I always say, first of all, you need to be conscious of what you can and cannot do as far as nutrition is concerned. To quote BC Lottery, I always say, know your limit and stay within it. So be aware of the rules of the trade and the scope of practice and code of ethics as far as recommendation and discussion of what about nutrition with a client. This said, you're there to support them with resources, knowledge, and guidance and on all aspects of health, right? To talk about the scope of practice, I think it's common knowledge that the personal trainer is not allowed to prescribe diet plans, let's say. I think it makes sense given the complexity of potential factors. I also think that you need to be aware of the client's expectations, but then you need to be clear on what you can and cannot recommend to the client.
Some people get very defensive when you talk to them about food, and it's obvious to you as the trainer that they've got issues with food, and that's why they're not losing the body fat, just for example.
Yeah, or they're not gaining the lean mass. Here's the challenge you have. You need to educate the client on the fact that they have to have a certain balance. You cannot out-train a bad diet, as you know, right? You need to fuel to perform for the sport of life. The issues the clients might have. So make suggestions, right? Give them the time to ask the question. Give them a place where they actually can inquire about anything about nutrition. And then based on your knowledge and also on your scope of practice, you can certainly make recommendations. Now, here's the list of things that you cannot do as a trainer. You cannot provide and offer individual meal plans. You cannot conduct assessments to evaluate the client's need, the current needs. You cannot make specific recommendation on intake. It says also in our scope of practice that you cannot offer nutritional counseling, recommend supplements, and promote yourself as a nutritionist. Now, there's things we can do, right? So when it comes to that, I want to say that you can share non-medical information on nutrition. And I want to say as well, you have little messages that you're going to drop during the session. Have you tried this new, like this vegetable, the fruit of the month, for example, the source of protein of the month, a new place where you can get some really smart produce, right? Little messages you're going to drop, and that could initiate a conversation about nutrition. Like I said, it's often an elephant in the room. What you can do is cover some of the general principles on good nutrition and food preparation, right? You can also talk about the food that you should include in your normal diet, essential nutrients for the body, and their effect on the body, right? And how they can assist the growth, the repair, and the performance. You know, Corey, the clients are coming in, and if they talk about binging or so, carb binging, or they had a bad night in the diet, you know, it's an event, it's not the person. So I try to detach them from feeling so guilty about it. They say, hey, you know what, it happens. Use some of the portion control, but don't try to be so cultish about it. You know, you understand? Provide them with the support and the fact that, okay, it's a thing that if it happens on a regular basis, it's not that great, but it can happen. We're all human. As long as you have counteraction plans to deal with the ongoing of those issues, right? Does that make any sense, Corey?
Yes, it does make sense. Now, what I want to do here is stir the pot a little bit, poke the hornet's nest, because I want to throw something in here, because my position is based on law. Now, as far as I know, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, Syl, personal training is not regulated by law in Canada. In other words, if I wanted to become a personal trainer and never have taken a personal training course in my life, there's no law, no actual law that says I can't do that.
To be honest, in a court of law, it's how you present your case the best that's important. To my knowledge, the courts will ask an expert to establish what are the standards. And part of the standards is that generally, gyms will hire personal trainers that are certified. It is the basic standard. And then comes with that all the responsibilities that you have to have as personal trainers that are included in the certification.
Yes, I know that's customary, but it's not the law. In other words, I could legally create and open up my own personal training studio, having never taken a course ever. Let's say that I won Mr. Canada and yes. I'd never taken a personal training course in my life. I could start teaching students. And I could do it without insurance if I wanted to. I'm not saying that it's right, and I'm not saying that that's what I would do. I'm just saying that if you want to, you can, because nutrition and fitness is not regulated like medicine. I know many, many trainers that train people. They've never taken a course in their life, and they're not under any obligation to become certified by law. I'm talking about by law. Think of the health food store retailers that right now and for 100 years have been talking about and recommending an approach to life that includes very specific details about dietary supplements and food, not to treat disease, but to promote health. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we know that you cannot prescribe, we cannot detail people with disease in mind, But there's absolutely no law that limits a mother, for example, that is trying to teach her children how to eat better for whatever reasons that she's using to sell them on that idea, which mm-hmm. goes on the floor of every gym and every health food store all over the planet every day. But there's no certification that's required by law for health food store retailers.
Yeah, like to be a mother, right?
Yeah. So you've got all these people promoting ideas and thoughts about how to get well, how to get better, how to increase your performance. Coaches do this all the time. Coaches mm-hmm. with athletic teams. They're literally telling their team what to eat and what not to eat and what to take as supplements. Some of them tell them not to. Others tell them to do it. Others say take creatine. Others don't. But none of them have any limitation or fear of litigation because they're not breaking any law because there is no law. That's the only point that I wanted to make.
Yeah. Imagine that their gyms themselves, the clients, have some enough education to be able to segregate the people that have not been certified. You know, the industry will push them out of the industry eventually. I think just because of the standard and knowledge and the insurance purposes, you know, to get insurance, you need a certification. And then you're more sexy as a trainer if you're certified and insured.
I agree. We both agree that education is absolutely critical and essential to do it right, to do it great, and to do it with excellence. Absolutely. But I want to take on this premise that many personal trainers have been, I think, misled into thinking that they cannot talk about food or nutrition or even give people an idea about meal plan. I know that you can. I've been doing it myself for years and years, and so have millions of people. I think the distinction is the difference between like a person talking about their arthritis and then you actually prescribing a sequence yes. that will treat the inflammation associated with their arthritis, as opposed to teaching them how to build a healthy joint yes. by consuming whole food and encouraging yes. the consumption of whole food or maybe adequate protein or less refined carbohydrates. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Non-medical information, that's our job. That's part of what we have to do is to promote that lifestyle, and nutrition is an integral part of it. So as long as you don't try to cure something, but you try to promote health and performance and sustainability, I think there's nothing like that's what we should do. And that's our role. That's the primary role of what we need to do the same way we design programs that are stimulating growth of muscles. But people need so much guidance. There's so much stimulation on the wrong directions these days that they need to have someone to provide them with guidance on alternatives, right? So, yeah, our role is essential, and that's included for sure.
Yes, and that's why I basically created the CSNA. And in the CSNA program, as you know, I asked the question, what are the four most important words that a CSNA can ask a client? And those words are, what do you eat? Mm-hmm. Now, is there a law that says you can't ask someone what they eat? Tell me what law that is. Exactly. There's no law. Now, when they tell you what they eat, then you could say, well, do you understand anything about insulin chemistry or insulin metabolism or insulin resistance? And then maybe you might send them a link or send them a paper or a study or maybe teach them about insulin chemistry. Mm-hmm. Rather than trying to treat their carbohydrate addiction, you're teaching them and you're using other experts and other books and other PhDs and all this evidence that you and I both know there's just so much out there. We can use that to our advantage to help what? To help the client get well.
Absolutely. My advice to trainers is this. It's simple. They're like this. Go seek, like a course like the CSNA. Become yourself the resource or be associated with the resource. I think it's always empowering to know better. So I really recommend everybody to take that completes what you have, what you are as a personal trainer. One of the other aspects of the life coaching, right? Get the certification. Then your knowledge, it's for you, but it's also for everybody that you have contact with, right? Your clients and your community.
Of course, exactly. Now, here's another approach that one can share. For example, I know because I've worked with people on the floor in a gym most of my life, one way or the other, these kinds of issues come up. Bodybuilders talk to each other about, you know, how much protein they're taking or what brand of supplement they're using or how they make a shake. You know how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we are actually engaging with someone, could it not also be useful to share with them what we do? Like, for example, I'm going to ask you this question, Syl.
Yeah.
How do you eat? Give us an idea of a day in the life of Syl when it comes to eating food.
Well, smart breakfast. You know, rolled oats and some yogurt and some protein and carbs. I start my day with that. I need to boost metabolism. I process my carbs during the night, and I'm starving. I'm not going to start my day with a low carb for sure. So right amounts, my proportions have been weighed before, and now I know what they should look like. So I repeat the same thing every day. Now, throughout the day, because I'm on my feet and at a gym, I typically support my nutrition with, I want to say, shakes, something that's going to keep me light on my feet and doesn't tie me down to a table. So I plan around, like a fruit here and there, but for sure I'm going to sustain supplying my body with nutrients, with the protein and carbs that I can manage in a shake. And then a light snack before my own training, after my day. I usually train at night, Corey, at the end of the day around 8:30. I have a light snack before I hit the gym, something that I digest easily, right? And then I do my workouts. I supplement with the BCAAs. I do the four pillars of nutrition like you taught me. And then I take my shake before and after. I sandwich my workout like you taught me. That means that I'm going to be late at eating a lighter dinner. But my dinner is typically, like I just said, very light. And then I go on about closing my day, preparing the following day. And then that's it, right? So I typically try to hit around 28 to 3,000 calories. That's what I need to eat. And it's not easy, as you know, to put all that food in me. But if I want to maintain the body that I have right now, muscle-wise and energy-wise, I need to supply it. So that's a typical day. And I use both, of course, real food, because I need the vibrancy of the food. And I supplement with, whey protein isolate and then the rest of the nutrition, right?
Yes. Now, there's so much in what you just said that if I was your client listening to what you just said, these are the kinds of questions that I would ask you in response to what you said, because let's say I didn't know. Tell me what a shake is. And then you would go into detail about what a shake. But instead of just saying a shake, like exactly what is a shake? How do you make it? How do you start? Do you add ice? Do you add water? Do you add almond milk? Do you put whey protein or rice protein? How much protein do you put in? How many carbs do you put in? See, this is the stuff that people don't know. The other thing that came to mind is, like you said, whey protein isolate. Well, what's that? I've never heard of that before. I think what you and I know that I do this all the time. I just take for granted that everyone on the whole planet knows, what I know. And sometimes that's the furthest thing from the truth you can imagine. This is the kind of stuff I'm thinking of, like with the clients, because I find that there's so many people, Syl, that are working out in the gym with trainers, but they haven't got a clue how to eat. And when they walk out the door for the next 23 hours, they're eating hamburgers or Smarties, or their eating system is really disordered, or they're late night eaters, or they, have alcohol every night. But see, they want to get lean, they want to build the muscle, but how can they do that if they have no knowledge in nutrition?
Yeah, my guidance goes to the specifics of what you just explained. Absolutely. You have to. They lost, right? There's so many sources of input, of information. And then you try to give them the science-based stuff, right? What works, and then you provide them with the benefits and both sides of the thing, right? On quantities of protein, for example, and quantities of carbs to be consumed. I based all that on personalized assessments. And that's one of the questions you wanted to talk about, like the physical signs of a client when they need the guidance or they need to address their nutrition, because you see, right, there's ways you can recognize a problem with them. And that could be leading us to the next question, Corey.
Yes. So again, that question is, what signs or like physical symptoms, if a person's not talking about it, you just look at them. Like I do this with every person I ever meet in my life. I scan them. I look at their skin and their hair and their body shape, their body weight. I look at everything because I think observation is the first step in the scientific method. It's a logical, analytical way to view everything and then compare yourself to that. So if you're the trainer and you're an expert, you say you're a CSNA and you're certified, you've got all this knowledge. What symptoms or signs in the client are going to lead you into thinking, wow, this person needs a lot of help, And so now, how am I going to break that ice? How am I going to talk to them? It's almost like a salesmanship. You're not trying to sell them anything, but you're trying to interact with them and open up like a clamshell to get that pearl.
Call that leadership. They're coming to for you to tell them what they need to know, not what they want to hear. Right. So I think that starts right away when the client enters the gym. You can feel the energy of a client walking in. That starts there. If you're prepared and engaged into your client care, client-centered approach, you will see the client, the way they stand, the way they walk, and the way the eye contact, the shifty eyes, their energy levels, you can feel that right away. I say the more you prepared and connected and engaged with your job, I think you could perceive a lot more. Of course, if you're a zombie and you watch TV while your client is warming up, you're not there. I pay attention to verbal indicators. If they do ask questions about nutrition, of course, you know that there's a problem there that they need to address. Their observation on their fatigue, the lack of repair, their soreness level, and also their impression that they're not growing towards the goal. The tone of voice is very important to me. Are they snappy? Are they right? Do they have a strong voice? I want to say as well, the direct inquiries for guidance. There's also a bunch of visual signs, like you talked about. Observating the clients as they walk around, as they get into their warm-up, their overall stamina, the energy levels of the client. And I always ask them at the beginning and at the end of the session how they feel physically, motivation-wise, and energy and happiness overall. I want to see how they perceive they are, and then I compare that to what I feel they are. And then I pay attention to their performance, as in the ability to perform a sustained workout. And then you know that I pay attention to the intensity of the workout. It's always appropriate, safe, and effective for the client's current fitness level. So if they cannot execute with sustainability the workout, theirs would be a fuel issue there, right? Also, the signs of prolonged soreness after a workout, their regression sometimes, even in the towards their goal, and the quality of their movements and their attention span, I think is very important to pay attention to. You know when your client's off, so you need to address it. Okay, there's something else. I always ask them, did you have a light snack before you started, maybe 45 minutes before, so you can sustain the program. And they know they're in the doghouse if ever you didn't pay attention to their nutrition.
Okay, that's good. We have what I really like, what we just talked about. That's what I was trying to get at, because you gave me the nuts and bolts. You gave me the fine details. You gave me the insight. This is the kind of stuff I think people need. And this is the kind of knowledge skill that you've got to share. It's what I try and do, is that practical insight on how to interact with people, because it's all about people. You know, you talk about being client-centered, and it's all about yourself when it comes to your own health. Mm-hmm. So we've run out of time, but I mean, this is just exactly what I wanted to get into during this discussion. Now, people can get to you at infofit.ca because you're tied into InfoFit, which is a wonderful training academy. They can get their certification there. And of course, we're connected, CHI, with the CSNA. I just want to ask you one more question before we go. And that is, what do you think, in your experience, has been the single most important, or perhaps one of the most important changes that you've made in nutrition that's helped you in your life to find stability or better experience in terms of your own wellness experience?
I think the most important thing I've learned over the years is that pay attention to the total calorie intake. I need to supply my body with the nutrition levels that what they need, like the number of calories to sustain life, to sustain growth, and to sustain repair, as well as supplementation. How can I facilitate the process of those fuel nutrients? That fuel, right? So I can optimize my growth, my repair, and feed the body with what it needs. It's a balance, and it's not easy to do as you go through different stages in your training. But I really think that figuring out the quantities and the quality of the food that I fuel myself with was probably, like, more specifically with your guidance. You gave me really the tools that helped me sustain a job in personal training, a career that is very productive, but also as an individual. I feel like I'm on top of my game. People are always surprised I'm 53, which is good, right? And don't stop there. I wouldn't take that for granted. You know, you always have to challenge the body and challenge yourself towards more. I think the quality of the food, like learning about the alkaline way of eating, those amazing charts you have on quality of the protein, fat, and carbs in the program. Those are amazing ways to guide myself and guide my clients towards the right choices of food. You could guide probably your audience towards those charts. They're brilliant, those charts. Those three charts on the alkaline versus acidic food, right?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Sylvain, thanks. That was an absolutely fantastic response. Sylvain is an elite personal trainer, genetic exercise analyst, course conductor, and exam preparation tutor with InfoFit. He's just a wonderful man, totally dedicated and just teeming with knowledge. So Sylvain, thanks so much for making the time for this part one and part two series. And we'll look forward to connecting with you and seeing you real soon.
Oh, my pleasure, Corey. Anytime. Have a good day.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.